It is written in the Acts of the Apostles by the Holy Spirit. Gracias. That when the day of Pentecost had come, the followers of Jesus were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They're filled with new wine.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Greg. That's right. If you have questions about curling, you can ask me, Aaron, or Loretta. We are huge fans. Also, I know Al and Hank, they played on a curling team for a while. So if you want to get into it, you can ask them. Thank you for having me here tonight. I'm looking forward to our talk tonight. It's going to be a little bit different tonight. So just bear with me. I think it's going to be actually a really cool experience. But we're going to have a chance to hear from a few of us about different people's experience of the good news of Jesus. So a few years ago, I go to this Chinese restaurant with my mom. We have these really good juk, and we're just really happy. We're enjoying our time together. And we leave the restaurant. On the side of the restaurant, there's some Chinese words. It's like some poem. And so my mom just starts reading it out loud, because I was like, "Oh, what does that say?" So she starts reading it. And as she's reading it, this white guy comes by, and he says, "This is America. Speak English." And then he just walks off. And his statement made me feel very small. It made me feel unwelcome in this country. It made me feel unaccepted. His statement, which is racist, is reminiscent of just fear of difference, fear of things that we don't understand, fear of people bringing diversity into this country, or just people not being uniform or staying the same as the majority white culture. There is, in our country, this English-only movement, which is a movement to make all states and our country recognize English as the only official language, meaning that official documents wouldn't get translated, forms that you had to fill out would only be in English. Even in education, no more bilingual education, anti-English as a second language, this sort of sink or swim thing. And I actually read somebody said, you know, trying to make English the official language of the U.S. is like trying to make hot dogs the official food of baseball games. It's like really like, why do you want to do that? Because it already is, you know, the primary language that's used. But it's sort of this fear of difference, this fear of if we don't have uniformity, there's no unity. And in contrast to that, I really love this passage in Acts, because it's this sense of we can have unity in our love for who God is without uniformity. We can have love for who God is and be bound together without a need for everything to be in the same language. So in this story, there are Jews from all over. There's this diaspora of Jews who are just, you know, kind of spread out. They're all back together for Pentecost, and they probably expect them to preach in Hebrew, and instead they're hearing this message about God's good deeds of power in their own native languages, in their own heart languages. For me, my heart language is Mandarin, so I grew up speaking Mandarin. They actually put me in ESL class when I was a kid because I was so quiet, they just thought I couldn't speak English. But anyways, that's just a side note. My heart language is Mandarin. I call my dad Baba. And about a month ago, somebody was praying over me, this white man who was praying over me. And in his prayers for me, he prayed that I would know God as my heavenly Baba. And when he prayed those words and prayed it in my heart language, I just lost it. I just started bawling. Because for some reason, when he was able to communicate to me something in my own heart language, it was able to touch me in a deeper way than if he had said, God is your heavenly father, or God is your heavenly daddy, or your Abba. Like, that just doesn't connect with me as personally or as deeply. So that was very transformative for me. And I think in this story, God wanted to touch all these people from all these different cultures deeply in their heart language. So today what we're going to get to do is hear and experience different people's experiences of the good news of Jesus. And when I say the good news of Jesus, the good news of Jesus is that Jesus is Lord, he is King, he's ushering in the kingdom of God, and we all get to be a part of that kingdom. So Jesus is our Lord. But that can look different for different people. What that means for people doesn't always look the same. And I think that's okay. Because in Jesus' kingdom, there's many different facets, and it can speak to us and meet us where our heart's most felt desires are. So these stories will be from just kind of different segments of society. And one thing I want to note is that even though it might seem like we're trying to be representative of our ethnicities or our cultures, it's impossible for one single person to fully represent everybody of their ethnicity or culture. And you know, some people might actually resonate to the good news of Jesus that's popular in a different culture than their own. So that is totally okay. But as we hear these stories, I kind of encourage us to not analyze or try to critique what people are saying, but more allow the Holy Spirit to touch us and move through what they're saying and speak to us about how they have been affected by the good news of Jesus. And so first I want to invite Gaddy up. Can I pray for you? Yes, please. God, as you sent the Holy Spirit to bring tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through Gaddy and through the other folks speaking today. May you share through them, and may you touch us by the power and the wonder of your good news. I pray these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, buenas noches. Cada vez que estoy nerviosa comienzo a hablar este lenguaje que se llama español, so me disculpan. I'm a little nervous, so each time I get nervous, my native language comes through, so that's Spanish. So if I switch, I'm sorry. Someone tells me, hey. for me, as a pastor's kid, most of you know I'm a pastor's kid, and a Central American Hispanic woman, the good news of Jesus is to know that I could come to him, to Jesus as I am. Growing up as a pastor's kid and immigrant, it was hard because people expected me to be a certain way. A standard was so high, I needed to be perfect. I needed to not get in trouble, and the only thing I did was got in trouble. So poor parents. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was about, I don't know, 8, most of you probably heard it already. Wednesdays were prayer in our church. And once they kneeled down, 45 minutes, they would close their eyes and, until time, and they would come up again. And so I would gather all the little kids out of church, and we would go play outside. But that night, there were rats this big. And so we decided to kick them and kill them, right? Because we didn't want them to go inside our house. So, but we did not know that we didn't kill them. We just make sure they were somewhat out. But we decided to, well, I asked the kids to bring them to inside the church. And we put them where the women's were kneeling down close to their knees. And about 10 minutes in, well, guess what? They were not dead, right? So they started waking up. And all these rats started going on top of the ladies' skirts. And the only thing, instead of saying hearing hallelujah, oh, thank you, Lord, everybody started saying, ah! And the only thing I could hear is my dad say, Daddy, come here. Well, just, it's one of the stories of many of the stories that my parents could tell. So the standard for me was really high because I was never well behaved through the eyes of the church and through the eyes of my parents. And I never found God really loving me because of that. I felt always like I had to be a standard for him to love me and accept me the way I was. It wasn't until college that I started to know God the way he wanted me to know him. And the good news for me, the good news of Jesus, is to know that I can come to him as I am. Being embraced by his grace and love, and knowing that I belong to him and the community and the larger community of Christ is what the good news to me is. Because in college, Susie was my mentor, and I really am so grateful for her, Susie Jensen. She was very patient with me, and as I am, she took me and guided me, and I could feel God's love through that. And I want to share with you a song that reminds me of this good news. I'm going to sing it, and then I would like you guys to sing it with me too. This is the good news to me, being accepted as I am. I am a little better now.
I'm going to share on behalf of my friend Mawani, who lives in Hawaii, so she couldn't be with us tonight. But the good news of Jesus to her, as a native Hawaiian woman, has been that Jesus brings restoration not only to our relationship with God, but also brings restoration to all of creation. For her, her identity is very tied and integrated with her experience of the land. And that if God was to bring his kingdom, the good news is that everything is restored and everything experiences redemption. Verses like Isaiah 55:12, which say that the mountains and hills will burst forth into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands, have special meaning to her, because that is an image of all of creation celebrating the coming of the Lord Jesus. And tonight, I'm going to show you a hula that Mawani did for Urbana, which is a missions conference for InterVarsity. And when she became Christian, so she grew up learning traditional hula, but a lot of these traditional hula dances are done in worship of different polytheistic Hawaiian gods. And for her, she felt a lot of inner conflict and turmoil when she became Christian, because she felt like she couldn't do these dances anymore and still maintain her faith. And so it was a real crisis for her, where she actually had to step back from doing some hula. And in more recent years, God has just been redeeming this cultural tradition for her and giving her opportunities to do hula out of worship to Jesus. And so I'm excited that we get to just watch her perform hula and see her cultural tradition be redeemed and used in worship of God.
Aloha. Tonight we'll be dancing a hula noho, which is a seated hula, entitled O'oi Iyo. And as it states in the Bible in Romans 1, from the beginning, mankind knew our Creator and worshipped Him. And in Hawaii, before polytheism, our people worshipped the one true God and called Him Iyo. So we're blessed to worship with the Ohana, the family of God, tonight. And we invite you to come and worship with us. Come and worship our life source, the Lord of the universe, Maka'olelo Hawaii, in Hawaiian language.
This has been good news to Mawani, that God redeems all of creation and also the Hawaiian people and their culture.
So I'm Greg, and for me, as a white male, kind of middle to lower middle class American, the good news of Jesus is that God gives our lives real meaning and purpose. So that may sound funny. It sounds funny to me even as I say it. Is that really why Jesus came? To give purpose? Well, I know it's more than that. And I know that there's many other greater needs for justice and love and all different kinds of things. But for me, that's where Jesus met me. And I think many in my culture, I guess we could call it. It sounds funny too, because why do I need a sense of purpose? I've made it to college. I was doing well in engineering, having the time of my life. I was on my road to what I'd always dreamed of, to become a designer and maybe an entrepreneur. But somehow, a year and a half into it, I hit a wall, and it was a crisis of purpose. I asked myself, why should I aspire and work towards greatness, even if it is greatness, if all that would remain of me in 100 years would be worm food and maybe a headline, at best? What was the point? Aren't we all just fooling ourselves that life is meaningful? Aren't we creating meaning in the short term when really, just to get us by, when really in the long term, when we really think about it and we're honest and there is no God, then everything's really just going to come to nothing. And all our talk about meaning and achievement and success will decompose into inanimate carbon. That's the point I reached. And that left me with two conclusions. Either I end it all now, or I just live a hedonistic lifestyle. A lifestyle for me and for my own pleasure. Well, obviously I chose the latter, because I'm standing here. I chose to live for my own pleasure, but that was ultimately self-destructive. It left me feeling very empty and unhappy. And I discovered that I really needed a reason to live that was bigger than me, beyond me. And that's where I found Jesus. Jesus reconnected me with the God who made me. Jesus gave me a reason for my life that was beyond myself. A life that comes from a restored personal relationship with the person who made me. And that gave my life meaning and purpose. Now, in my culture, we may not see a need for salvation all the time. But we certainly can't live too long with any sense of inner peace without a sense of a purpose that is real. Through Jesus, I have access to this God of purpose that is good news to me. And I want to share with you, I think it's kind of a video, but it's really mostly a song, that reminds me of this good news. And it echoes the words of Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 26, where Jesus says, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul, or yourself, as it is sometimes translated?" So I like this song and this video because it's easy for my culture to look outside of ourselves for meaning and to look in success, to look in accomplishments, to look in the status of other people, but it's always outside of ourselves. And this song reminds me that real meaning and purpose is found in Jesus, the caretaker of our souls.
Man, I want to tell y'all something, man. Man, I'm not going to let these material things get in my way, y'all. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Tony, can you get with your boy? Let's go!
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see. That it's a feast for the eyes.
flashes, and they think that it's you. But they don't know that who you are is not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we peek at the charts. Yo, before we part from the start, where's your heart?
You a pimp?
Hustler, tell me what's your title? America has no more stars, now we call them idols. It's an idol, while we teach prosperity. The first thing to prosper should be inside me. Never because of 22 is in the range, but Christ came in range. We say yes, now we change. Not the same, even though I've been a ball. Since I got that call, no more song, now we're home. Yo.
The purpose that can be found through Jesus and in Jesus is good news for me, and maybe it is for you.
Praise God. For me, as a Chinese, Taiwanese, American woman, the good news of Jesus is that he restores me to a place of honor in his family. Growing up, I had always heard that the good news of Jesus was that he paid for my sins. And he took away the penalty for my sins, forgave me, and then now I could go to heaven. That wasn't enough for me. For some reason, every time I sinned, I could apologize and repent 50, 100 times, but I always felt this sense of shame, this heaviness, this sense that God didn't really like me. Because what I needed more than just Jesus forgiving my sins was I needed to know that Jesus accepted me as I was. That might seem like kind of a subtle difference, but for someone like me who grew up in a shame-based culture, it's all the difference. Because in a shame-based culture, when you fail, you don't just fail like yourself, but you fail your family, you fail your friends, you fail your whole community. And there's a sense of burden that we carry in terms of our relationships to one another. And so if I fail, and then someone else in the community has to pay for my sins, it's like going out to lunch or dinner with someone and letting them pay the bill. There's just a lot of shame tied with that. You know, my mom has literally ripped the bill in half fighting over it at the restaurant. So there's a sense of shame in letting someone else pay for you. So having Jesus pay for my sin didn't take care of that sense of shame, that I wasn't worthy to be a part of his family. When it clicked for me was in college, I was reading this devotional guide called Losing Face, Finding Grace by Tom Lin. And I was just going through this devotional guide, and there's this one section where they talk about how Jesus doesn't just take away our guilt or pay for our sins, but he takes away our shame and gives us honor. And I remember reading that Bible study alone in my living room and just weeping. Because for the first time in my life, I felt free. I felt this deep sense of peace and a sense of joy that I'd never had access to. Not only did Jesus pay for my sins, but he liked me and wanted me around. He didn't just see me as a black sheep that he always had to fix problems for, but that he wanted to embrace me into his family. Verses about how we're no longer aliens, but now we are members of God's household, really touched me deeply, that he embraced me. And now I want to share with you a painting by Makoto Fujimura. He is a Japanese-American Christian painter. He uses this traditional Japanese painting style called Nihonga, but he integrates his faith with his paintings. And this one in particular is called Luke, the Prodigal God. And it's based on the story in Luke 15, where this son is wayward, makes all these mistakes, and comes back. And not only does the father in the story forgive him of his waywardness, but he embraces him and he restores him to a place of honor. He gives him his ring, he gives him a new coat, and there's a celebration and a festival for his return. And that contrast of moving from a place of shame and darkness to a place of light and a place of being embraced and honored. And one of the things I like about this painting is the light and gold that kind of overwhelm the darkness. Like, there are places of darkness, but they're just kind of overtaken by the white and the gold. Also, just sort of the movement in this painting. You know, I'm not an abstract painting expert, but what I like about it is that it feels very festive, and there's a sense of movement and joy and celebration that I see. And this is what has been good news to me, that all shame is forgotten and overcome, and that the suffering Jesus experienced for me ends with a story of joy, reconciliation, and restoration of our relationship.
Hi, my name is Michael. And for me as a black man, the good news of Jesus is that God promises us exodus from slavery, that Jesus promises a liberation from oppression that leads to dignity, and that his Holy Spirit is powerful, available, and in abundance. So I grew up in a predominantly black church, pastored by a man named Jim Lawson, who can be seen in pictures next to Martin Luther King. I got to meet Desmond Tutu. I got to meet Rosa Parks. In my church, when we talked about God, we talked about the Exodus. We talked about the journey of the Jews from slavery into freedom. We talked about their journey across the Jordan River. And for us, the Jordan River was death. And life on this side of the Jordan River was oppression. And life on this side was freedom. And for us, what we talked about was this way that our lives kind of mirrored theirs, and we were seeking the God that gives us freedom. Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. The other thing we talked about was this link between experiencing God and escaping systemic oppression. There was a way that we weren't just talking about escaping slavery. We remembered that that was something that God had done for us a long time ago. But we also knew that there were ways that we needed to experience that same God now. In some of us, and many of us in our church, the circumstances of our lives were such that we were still experiencing a little bit of that life, or remnants of that life, on this side of the Jordan. And our cries and our prayers for freedom became cries and prayers for God to bring us a sense of dignity in the places and in the ways where we lacked that. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling seas. These are things that I heard a lot in church, but became more and more real to me as a student in college. As a student who experienced what it was like to feel alone on a large college university because there weren't people around that looked like me. As a student who, in trying to follow Jesus, experienced some of my worst experiences of oppression and racism. My journey with Jesus has been tumultuous and fun and adventuresome, and one part of that adventure was me going on an urban project. And there were 110 students and I kind of seeking justice for the city of Los Angeles. And in that summer, 110 of us, we sort of came together every Thursday. And about, you know, by the end of the summer, about 6 weeks, we had experienced 35 physical healings among the things that we had done. It was crazy. I saw a woman have her broken ankle reattached by the Lord in front of me. That will do something to you. I guarantee you. That summer, myself and my fellow students just experienced the power of God as we learn how to hear from Him, as we learn what it meant for Him to lead us into repentance, into life change, and into heart change. As we learn what it meant for Him to lead us into ministry, into doing the things that He was doing in these neighborhoods. What I also learned is that LA was the site of a very amazing revival over 100 years ago. And that on Azusa Street near downtown LA, there were people like William Seymour and other people that looked like me experiencing a renaissance of the Holy Spirit. Things that I was experiencing too. Singing together in powerful times of worship. Seeing people be physically healed. Seeing folks that didn't look like each other learn how to love each other. In some way, it felt like my experience of God that summer was a taste of what people that had come before me had experienced as well. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. For me as a black man, the good news of Jesus is that God promises us exodus, that He promises us liberation that leads to dignity, and that the Holy Spirit is powerful, available, and in abundance.
Praise God. So I think we should just take a moment and let these stories soak in. So I'm just going to let us be quiet and just reflect on how have you felt the Holy Spirit through any of these stories, ways that you felt touched. I'm going to give us a minute to do that. And now I want us to just respond in thanksgiving. So praying out short sentence prayers of things that you're thankful for in terms of God's good news. God, thank you that you are a God who restores all of creation. Thank you, God, that you are enough for all of our needs and all of our heart's desires. We pray these things in your name. Amen. My heart feels very full from all the sharing. I knew what people were going to share, but just hearing them was very moving for me. Just thinking about how great the good news of Jesus is for all people and how sufficient and full and diverse and just powerful it is. It was very moving. Some of the next steps that I want us to do, one is to reflect on a heartfelt need that you have for Jesus' good news to touch. And one of the things I learned recently is that spirituality starts with our desire, not with our knowledge. So growing closer to God is going to Him with places in your heart where you have a need for Him and have a desire for the good news of Jesus to meet you. You could spend time this week just journaling. It could just be for a few minutes. Just what is some felt need that you have that you want God to meet? And then present your unanswered desires before Jesus. Another possible step is maybe some of these stories intrigued you or piqued you. Maybe you want to look more into your ethnicity and how the gospel can be highlighted for your culture or ethnicity. Maybe some of you want to learn about a different culture or ethnicity and how to translate the gospel and contextualize it for a different culture or ethnicity. There are some books that I want to recommend to you, and there's a lot. So if you want to write one down that you want to look up, then go ahead. Don't feel like you have to remember all of them. But I just thought I would present them all to you, and if there's one that strikes you, feel free to write that down and look up that book. So for Latino Chicano theology, Justo Gonzalez is probably one of my favorite Hispanic theologians. Santa Biblia is the Bible through Hispanic eyes. Mañana is the theology for the Hispanic community. But he has great books, so look him up. For Native American theology, I would recommend Richard Twiss. I haven't read this book, but It's a little bit easier to buy than the other book that I have read by Peelman about Christ as a Native American. So, but I read reviews on Richard Twist, and he's supposed to be very good. So both books, I think, would be helpful in that way. For the Asian American experience, Tom Lin, Losing Face and Finding Grace, 12 Bible Studies for Asian Americans. That was the devotional guide that I read. Well, it was like a Bible study, but I did by myself, so it was devotional. Then this other book, More Than Serving Tea, by Kathy Kong and others, including Christy Heller de Leon, who used to be a member at our church, for conversation about Asian American women and faith and how that it gets lived out. For the African American experience, I highly recommend Carl Ellis' Free at Last. That's just a really thoughtful book and provocative book about especially some of the conflict African Americans feel in white theological perspectives of the Bible, how it can be translated better for African Americans. James Evans and Estrelda Alexander's books, I'm not familiar with, but they're books that Mike referenced for his testimony. So, We Have Been Believers is an African American systematic theology, and then Black Fire by Alexander is about the Pentecost. Pentecostal movement. Then the last next step that I think might be good for us is to be asking one another, how has Jesus been good news for you? So while I was kind of asking people these questions, it was really moving to hear people's answers, to have people over for dinner and just be like, how has Jesus been good news to you? The answers have been really thoughtful and have helped my faith to grow. One of the things I realize is that also hearing the gospel through another lens often helps us connect with Jesus in a different way. So Henry Nouwen, he's this Dutch man who marched with Dr. King and felt a deep sense of joy while singing We Shall Overcome. There's something that connected with him in that. Or Phil Bolingdyer, an African-American man, became Christian in an Asian-American church. So just sometimes hearing the gospel through a different lens speaks to us in a way that we need to hear as well. So this week in Discover Groups, a lot of you will get a chance to share how has the good news of Jesus been experienced for you, and you'll get a chance to also share, you can share a poem or a song or a piece of art, anything that you want really that's creative, and use that to show how has God been good news to you. And actually I want to compile these things, so if you want to email them to me, we're going to try to make them into a booklet so we can have them to take home and reflect on the fullness of the gospel. So last, I just want to pray for us to bless us. God, thank you that in our own languages, we can hear you speaking about your deeds of power. God, may you grow our connection with you and with one another as we are tied together by the power of Jesus as Lord. We thank you, God, for who you are, how you're not afraid of difference, but that you welcome us and speak to us in our heart languages. In your name we pray.